turn with me this morning to 26th chapter of the book of Isaiah. We went to 25 last week. Just move up one, I thought, on things this week. At this time that Isaiah was writing, people of Israel were taken away into captivity into Babylon. It is said that they hung up their harps on the willows and couldn't sing a song of Zion anymore. And Isaiah has penned another song for them that they might sing, that they might remember the days of old in Zion, that they might be strengthened in that, that they might carry on even in captivity. Certainly this captivity was for their good. It said that all the things that happened unto the Israelite people were for our example. And we ought to take heed to those things. So therefore we go back to the Old Testament. We hear quite often that the Old Testament is not relevant to anything now. We're in a new era, in a new dispensation. Some people get off into dispensations, and that can get pretty deep subject also and doesn't lead anywhere. But the song that was to be sung was a new song, and we read of a new song even in the very last time when the Lord comes back again. They'll sing a new song again. But song is good. It lifts the heart. He said in that day, and that day, by the way, is the day of the Lord. It doesn't matter when it was, like today. Today is the day of the Lord. It's the one He's made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. So in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation, we've got a point for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. These people were jerked up from their land and carried off, and Jerusalem was burned. The temple was torn down. All the vessels were taken away. And can you imagine if that happened to you this morning, if they come in here and gathered all of us up, carried us off into a strange land? By the way, there's a parallel there with you and I. We're strangers and pilgrims in this land. We're waiting for the Lord to come and carry us to the new Jerusalem. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. So, He has written them a new song that they might sing even though they were in captivity. And what was it? This is our God. It's Him that we waited for. We have a strong city. Even though they were in captivity, they still were looking for that city. We have a strong city, and its builder and maker is God. He said, open ye the gates that the righteous nation may come, which keepeth the truth may enter in. Certainly that is righteousness. Truth is righteousness. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. For he bringeth down them that dwell on high. The lofty city, he layeth it low. He layeth it low even to the ground. He bringeth it even to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, even the foot of the poor, in the steps of the needy. Understand, they'll rain. When we sing this new song, they'll be raining. The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. This is our God. It's Him that we've waited for. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I delighted or desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit, within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Let favor be showed to the wicked. Yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of the uprightness will he deal unjustly. And will he not behold the majesty of the Lord? He just won't do it. You understand? That's just the way man is. That's his very nature. He's always got that nature with him. Talking about mother nature. This is it. That's the way man is. He always falls short of the glory of God. I don't care what you do. Unless the Lord turns a man, he'll not be turned. And that's what he's saying here. You can preach to him from now on. But if the Lord doesn't do the work, we just sang that in that song a minute ago. If the Lord doesn't build a house, then it'll not stand. Say, Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see, but they shall see. Now there's a little turn there. The Lord is going to make his people see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. For thou also hath wrought all our works in us. So now we're looking at the Lord doing work. If there's a work to be done, it will be by the Lord. This, we live in a time when we got all this easy believism, and there doesn't seem to be any spirit in it. And sometimes we wonder, like the people of Israel that were in captivity, we begin to wonder if there's any time we're going to go back and rebuild the temple and dedicate it again, have a renewing of things. But then we look in the scripture and we see surely that day is coming, we're going to sing a new song, all because of the Lord. In verse 13, he said, O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They're dead. They shall not live. They're deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memories to perish. And this certainly is a picture of Israel at this time. It looked like they were dead. Surely they were. Outside of the Lord saving them, pulling them out of the fire, they were dead. Dead people. There's always the living among the dead because of the Lord's grace that he showed upon them. But it's just the bent of man. That's the way he is. He said, O Lord our God, other lords have reigned over us. but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. How is it that we call upon the name of the Lord? It's certainly only by him. If it move a man by the Spirit to call, the man will make a move to go to him. But if the Lord doesn't have grace on him in that fashion, he'll always have the heart to say he'll go into heaven and bring God down, or he'll go in the deep and bring God up. And that's what's in the heart of man. He will gain righteousness on his own. What they set about to establish their own righteousness. It is in their heart that they'd go and bring God down, or they'd go down deep and bring him back up. But it's not in man to seek God. It's beyond man. Sometimes we think that we can explain these things unto man, but there's no explaining it to him if he doesn't have the heart to see it, if he doesn't have the mind to see it. But the mindset of man is always to go the other way. In the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, just a couple of verses we'll go to in the 10th chapter and verse 23, and said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me. Now this is a heart that man needs. Lord, correct me. It's not in me. If you don't do it, Lord, if you don't go with us, we're not going the way of the righteous. There's always that lacking in man. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter, then, the other verse 9, he said, a man's heart devises this way, but the Lord directeth his steps. A divine sentence is in the lip of the king. His mouth transgresses not in judgment. A just weight and balance are the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his work. There's nothing that goes on that the Lord isn't completely in control in ruling over it. In the 33rd verse, and he said, the lot is cast into the lap. We have a lot of that nowadays. We go play the lottery. And that's what he's talking about here. In the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. So the Lord is always leading, guiding his people, always by chastisement, correction, he keeping. That's the way we say, this is our God. This is him that we have waited for. If we're not turned from that, we'll go the way of all men, path of the dead. In 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 1 Corinthians 4, in verse 7, so whom maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? But it's all of the Lord. And again, that's the way we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. This is him. It's whom we waited for. We still look for him. We wait on him this morning. We wait for his word to come this morning unto us. If we don't find repentance through the Lord, it'll not come to us. You know, understand that repentance is not in the heart of man outside of the turning of the Lord. But the Israelite people, in the state that they were in, it looked like they were absolutely dead. There's no hope. They're off in a foreign land. They've hung their harps. They can't sing the songs of Zion anymore. And they were full of dead men. But the Lord is gracious. And the promise was always unto Israel. And the Israel today is where the heart of the Lord is. So when we make those comparisons, the Israel of old is not the same as the Israel today, although things have not changed. Salvation comes to man by the same manner as it always did under the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's always the same, but it's all too of God. Man doesn't ever have anything to do with it. We've been taught over and over and over that, well, the Lord has done so much and man needs to do the rest. But there is no rest. All that the Lord has done is sufficient for the salvation of man. And the calling is all of God and not of man. We don't have anything to do with it. Except the Lord build a house. It'll not stand. So we look to the Lord to build a house. We have a couple of examples of the Lord's building. In the book of Ezekiel, I think we'll go to the 16th chapter to start with. I guess we'll read here a ways. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And the same thing would apply to us today. We are the new Jerusalem. So the thing would apply to us, cause us to know our abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. They were born of whoredom, not of the true lineage. They had gotten off course. And as for thy nativity in the day, thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. If a navel cord isn't cut, then you bleed to death, be left out to die. And that's the way they were. Said none, I pity thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, it's as if the Lord was traveling through and he just looked. And he saw him. And when I passed by thee and I saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And you can underscore that. Lord, come by, and it was if they were dead. The navel hadn't been cut. They hadn't been cared for at all and left out in a desert place. But then the Lord come by. as he just looked off to his side and looked out and saw this. And they were dead. We might add to that in trespass and in sin, but the navel hadn't been cut. They hadn't been swaddled at all. And he saw them in their blood and he said, live. That's the way it always happens, isn't it? When the Lord looks at his people, he said, and live. And we go to a place where we might live. Now, I've caused thee to multiply, talking about the Israelite people. They went down into Egypt. Oh, by the way, the handmaids were told to get rid of the male children down there in Egypt. Don't cut the cord. Don't do anything. Let them die. Now, I caused thee to multiply, but even under all the stress that they were under down in Egypt, they continued to multiply. Why was that? Because the Lord said, live. Just that simple. Isn't that simple? Just live. Looking for a new city where it might live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to the exceeding, or to the excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. That's where he found them. When he come by and looked, that's what they were. Naked and bare and hopeless. And when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee, and behold, thy time was a time of love. But he first loved us. And I spread my skirt over thee to cover the nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. He said they were the apple of his eye. They became his. How is that? Just by him passing by and say, live. The simplicity of it. And live. Then washed I thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with bordered work, and shod thee with badger skins. He's putting on them a cloak of righteousness, covering their nakedness. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. And this kind of sounds like the priest when they were getting ready to go in and offer the sacrifices at the temple, and they needed to be washed and clean and put on linen garments so that they could go in before the Lord clean and offer up the sacrifice. He covered them with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands and chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work, and thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And what were the cakes that were offered up? That's what it was. The offering unto the Lord, and thou wast exceeding beautiful. And thou didst prosper in a kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness. It was the righteousness of the Lord that he clothed them with, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord God. What was the perfect offering? The Lord himself that walked by and said, live. That's the only way that man ever come to the Lord, is for him to say, live. Just simply live. The simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Just live. In the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, another incident really take away all of man's works or righteousness. I guess we'll begin in verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, and we are cut off for our parts. Now, it's the same situation that they were in the captivity. All hope was lost. The house of worship had been tore down. No place to go. And the city had been burned to the ground. All the beautiful city had been taken away. No place to go. Where are we going to live? Can't live in that ravaged mess. So it must be renewed. Our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto the bones, dry bone, dead bone. You can't get any deader than that. Who's he prophesying to? Dead Israel. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. This is where they're going to sing the new song, the songs of Zion. Once again, when the Lord builds the house, which is what we are, a part of that house that's being built. So once again, we'll sing that song. This is our God. It's him that we've waited for. It's him that we've come to see. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you. He passed by and said, live. Put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. That's just the way it happened. The Lord said, live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. So it's the Lord that builds a house. If the Lord doesn't build a house, it's absolutely hopeless. In the 127th Psalm, it's what we sang a while ago. said, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. All this work and hustle and bustle and carrying on that men are doing today to try to build a church outside of the power of God is in vain. Except the Lord build a city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrow, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. He said, and live. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is rewarded. The navel is cut and tied up. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is a man that hath his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. They'll be singing a new song when the Lord builds a house. Back in the dedication of the second dedication to the temple when it was rebuilt, it said they were weeping and weeping and weeping. And it almost sounded like it was a problem, but it wasn't. They were weeping for joy. We have a house the Lord has built. So let us go unto it and live. Live and worship the Lord our Savior, who passed by and saw you and I and just exclaimed, now live.